Good morning, everyone. It's Saturday morning. It's about 3:30 in the morning. And I couldn't sleep. And so I thought, well, I'll just get up and do my devotional a little early. And then maybe I'll go back to sleep. The Lord's the one who wakes us up and puts us to sleep. Good morning, Steve Fisher. And so, anyway, today is the 23rd of February, Saturday morning. And as I do every morning, I like to read some scripture. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Well, there was quite a few scriptures strung together that I read there. Hebrews 12:24, John 1:29, Revelation 13:8, Hebrews 10:4 and 5 and 10, Genesis 4:4, Ephesians 5:2, Hebrews 10:22 and Hebrews 10:19. The theme being the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And sometimes the truth hurts. The truth hurts. When we come to grips with certain things regarding the Bible and what it has to say, we either embrace it or we reject it. And that, by the way, is the work. If we're one of God's children, the work of the Holy Spirit is what causes us to embrace His Word. And I've met a lot of people that say that they believe the Bible. Good morning, Nina G. Mariano. They say they believe the Bible, but when you start going through the Bible, they become very uncomfortable. And a lot of them take a hike. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of the gospel. A lot of people say the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is embracing all of God's Word. How many of you had someone tell you, I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And then when you get talking to them about the Bible, for an example, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? And when it starts talking about the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and then in the 6 days all the works of God were finished, okay? When it starts talking about a firmament being over the earth, when it starts talking about the earth being fixed and stationary so that it cannot move, when it starts talking about that the earth is his footstool, okay? That's called cosmology, but when you study biblical cosmology, you'll find that you cannot separate creation from redemption. If you start denying what God says about his creation, then you're denying his word, what he states about it. And then if you get into the New Testament, and you start going through the New Testament, and you read, for an example, the 6th, the 10th, the 17th chapters of John, the 9th chapter of Romans, probably the most controversial book in the whole Bible is the 9th chapter of Romans. If Christ himself says, all that the Father hath given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out, and people say, I can't go along with that, because it starts, what does that start with? That starts with the premise that God gave all of his people to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. If you read through Ephesians, the 1st and 2nd chapter, and then you say, well, I can't go along with that when it says that we were predestinated unto adoption. People want to take a hike. They say, no, my free will is what brought me to Christ. My believing, my choice, my acceptance, my letting Jesus into his heart. No, it's not biblical. It's not biblical at all. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, says that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. That's one of the reasons that I wrote this book, The Lies of Free Will. Do you control your own destiny? I've stated this many times. I know a guy that's a commercial airline pilot with American Airlines. I think he's still flying for him. And, you know, he's real strong on the doctrine of free will. He says it makes God more sovereign to give man a free will. That's not biblical. And I ask Jerry, when you're up flying that commercial airline, you're in a storm like this. Is it Jerry that's going to determine whether you make a safe landing? Or is it God that determines whether you're going to make a safe landing? God is not your co-pilot in that instance. Man wants to take all the glory in his decisions. Think they can control their own destiny by their own decisions. Yes, God has given us an intelligence. He expects us to use our intelligence. But the fact is that God is the first cause and the last great end of everything. That's what it means when it says that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Did you choose your own parents? Did you choose the hospital you would be born in? Did you choose the hospital you would die in? No. No. Our society needs a good dose of the sovereignty of God being taught to them. In him we live and move and have our very being, the scripture tells us. And I've often told people, you talk to people who have a disabled child, like I have, and you tell that parent that child can become anything he wants to be. You know, my wife one time worked with multiply handicapped children. I've worked with autistic children. I have a son who has a brain degenerative disease. Don't try to tell us that a person can become anything they want to do, want to be, by just making up their mind. It's a lie from Satan. And it all started with the lie in our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Well, it started way before then. It started with Lucifer himself when he said, I will arise and be as God. But what does it say in the Declaration of Independence? All men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. It's a lie. All men are created, but all men aren't created equal. I mean, that's the most asinine statement, to say that all men are created equal. Some people are born blind. Some people are born without limbs. Some people are born with Down syndrome. Some people are born with no ears and are deaf. Thomas Jefferson was steeped in masonry and Masonic thought. Many of our founding fathers were Masons. It was not based upon biblical doctrine at all. We're not a Christian nation. Okay. God ordained, okay, that our founding fathers would be reprobates, some of them. Benjamin Franklin was an occultist, steeped in the occult. People don't want to hear the truth, though, do they? They bought into a pack of lies. Jesus Christ is sovereign over evil. Lucifer was created as a non-elect angel. Lucifer had the idea he had a free will. God created Lucifer such that he would fall. I have a question for you. Could God have created Satan such that he would never have fallen? Of course he could have. He had a purpose in creating Lucifer such that he would fall. Why did he create Judas? Well, the scripture says so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That's what it says. Now people will say, well, don't you believe that all of God's people have a will? Yes, I believe they have a will. It's just not free. It's in bondage to sin and the devil, unless they're born again by the Spirit of God. I want to read you just a little bit of this. This is taken from chapter 1 of this book. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 7:9. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Isaiah 14:12-15. This is how the propagation of free will began with Satan himself. He said in his heart that he would ascend into heaven and that he would exalt his throne above the stars of God. This, in a nutshell, is what free will seeks to set forth. That man's will is independent of God, and his will has the power to do anything that he chooses to do. What a tremendous lie. This is the lie of all lies. You shall become as God. Well, I would encourage you to examine the lies of free will. If you want to pick up this book, you can get it from lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. You can read it in about probably less than an hour and a half. But it goes through all the scriptures in the Bible that come against the lie of free will of man. Do you know the Humanist Manifesto teach the free will of man? Do you know that most of the philosophers teach the free will of man? Plato, Socrates, Aristotle. The wisdom of man is foolishness. Okay? But the Bible is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Well, I want to read you a few poems out of this Poems for Edification book. And I tell people these poems are a result of me being woken up in the middle of the night, just like right now, with the pain of my arthritis. And people can say, oh, well, if you will get in the right health club, and if you will do this, and if you, all your arthritis will go away. You know, there's people want to believe that they are in charge of their destiny and their health and their wealth. And they set their goals. They set goals for their recreational life and their economic life and their physical life and their spiritual life and their social life. They can put everything together and live a happy, abundant life. It's deception. How many people have you heard say, that person was in a terrible accident today? There are no accidents. There are no accidents. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I'm eating this way so I can add years to my life? You can't add years to your life. God's the one that determines when you're born and when you die. I had a person one time told me, I'm going to commit suicide. I said, the only way you'll commit suicide is if God has ordained it. Okay? This is called Destination and Choices. In our world, we are told that we have the power of choice, my friend. We must be careful to evaluate this voice. And as it relates to eternal life, it is especially taboo. For God distinctly tells us in His Word that if we have chosen Christ, we were already one of His herd. My sheep hear my voice, and they do follow me. You see, He has predestinated us from eternity. You shall become as God, knowing good from evil. Lucifer's deception. to mankind was revealed. Good morning, Samuel Nyru. Welcome aboard. Since the fall of men, man has tried to become their own savior, redeemer. But not true for some. Even though Saul of Tarsus was running away, God struck him down and said, "You're going my way." Good morning, Samuel Puka. Good to see you this morning. My sheep hear my voice and they do follow me. God made a decision for his sheep's destiny. What a comfort this truth brings to our souls, to know that our Father our future controls. Whenever we sin, he forgives his wayward lambs and reminds us in his word, "I am that I am." He has put all things under his feet, including also the tares and the wheat. May we ever be reminded of this fact. The shed blood of Jesus is a solid contract. The contract is between the Father and the Son. The work of atonement is already done. Let's give the credit to whom it is due. Our eternal salvation is from him, not me or you. People have it backwards today. They put the cart before the horse. I let Jesus into my heart. Billy Graham used to get up in stadiums of 50,000 people and tell everybody in the stadium that God loved him. He's not God. That brings up another important point. I had a guy tell me one time, "God is love." I said, "Yes, he is love. That is one of his attributes. That's one of his attributes, his love. It's not his only attribute. God also hates. God also is jealous. God also is a God of wrath and a God of judgment. People have the idea that God is this wise old man with a white beard in the sky that loves everybody. And that's not what the Bible says at all. And so, that's brought about me writing this book. And this is a very controversial book. The Bible is very controversial. It's the whole Bible. You know, it's very controversial. I'm not talking about just the Old Testament either. People say, "Well, we're no longer under the Old Testament." That's true. We're no longer under the old law service. We're under a new and better covenant. But have you read the 9th chapter of Romans? How do you explain that away? Now, let me tell you how a lot of people explain it away. By getting a newfangled version of the Bible that's full of corrupted texts, like the New International Version. Okay? I'm not interested in listening to translators that are lesbian and in the gay lifestyle. I'm not interested in listening to or taking someone's Bible they say is called the Bible, that was taken from corrupted text, taken out of a trash can from Vatican. If God has not preserved the King James Version of the Bible the last 400 years, if he waited 400 years, if he waited until 2019 to give us all these new fangled translations that are better than the authorized King James Version of the Bible. If the authorized King James Version of the Bible is correct, God has not done what he said he was going to do the last 400 years. And from eternity, which was, "I will preserve my word." He has preserved his word. So when people read the 9th chapter of Romans, for an example, they have to go to corrupted text to try to ease their conscience because they can't accept the reality that God hates certain people before they're even born. that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That's what the scripture says. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He's speaking of these people. Say, oh, he's talking about nations. No. He's talking about individuals. He's talking about twins, Jacob and Esau. And he loved Jacob and he hated Esau. Before they had done any good or evil, while yet in their mother's womb, he didn't just see, he didn't just look down through the portals of time and see who was going to choose him. No. He predestinated, he had predestinating love for Jacob, and he had predestinating hate for Esau. Well, you say, that's not fair. That was Paul's question. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Hath not the potter power over the clay, and one vessel to make unto honor, and one unto dishonor? God has created vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. People say, well, that would make God a tyrant. That would make God this. That would make God that. Look, God is not dependent on his creatures. He's independent of his creation. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Scripture tells us that even the wicked are created for the day of evil. So, I did a study throughout the whole Bible, and I wrote this book, God Does Not Love Everyone, but he does love his elect from everlasting to everlasting. It should be readily apparent that God doesn't love everyone. It should be readily apparent. If God loved everyone, everyone would be a recipient of God's grace. Is that not true? What did Jesus Christ tell Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. If God loves everyone, then everyone's born of the Spirit of God. But everyone isn't born of the Spirit of God. Everyone isn't born again. It's another lie of Satan. God loves everybody. And he made it possible. No. God doesn't do possible things. God doesn't do potential salvation. Christ came to save his people from their sins. And he did it. And on the cross he said, it is finished. The best example of this two distinctive peoples in the world are right there on Mount Calvary. On one side you had a thief that God showed mercy to, and on the other side you had a thief that God did not show his love to. Well, if you want to get this book, God Does Not Love Everyone, it goes through all the scriptures throughout the Bible, validating the fact who God does love. He loves his elect from everlasting to everlasting. You can get that book from Lulu.com too. And if you really want to have some edifying reading, you can also get this book, Poems for Edification, Volumes 1 through 4. You say, what are you promoting your books? No, I'm promoting the Word of God. That's what you can find. What it teaches in all of those three books. You don't need any books. You can go directly to the Bible to get all the truth you ever will need. So I hope you have a good morning this morning. And so when people start denying the Word of God, whether it's cosmology, they say that the earth is a spinning globe, you know, say you were a globe spinning through space at 66,000 miles an hour, 1,000 miles at the equator, when the Bible says that we're fixed and it cannot be moved, the earth, when they start coming up with all of these lies about we landed on the moon. If you want to have an interesting study, go and do a study on the origins of NASA. It's steeped in the occult. Now, I know I'll lose a lot of people when I get here, because you've been mind controlled for so many years. Anyway, God is the one who's ordained. Do you realize in Thessalonians it tells us that he would send them strong delusion, that they would be able to believe a lie? One of the greatest lies that's been purported is that we are a globe spinning through Earth at 66,000 miles an hour and 1,000 miles at the equator. And that very subject is dividing millions of people throughout the world today. Some people can see through the lie by the Holy Spirit, and other people can't. And when you promote the truth, people take a hike. Jesus Christ said, if you are in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. And that's where we're at right now. But it's a joy to know the truth, regardless of what we must go through. May the good Lord be with you this day. It's my prayer. God bless.